Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning of verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. The words of Jesus, and here he is, he's speaking to his disciples. And these weighty words, these strong words, hate, persecute, hatred and persecution. In the preceding verses of John chapter 15, Jesus speaks of himself as the true vine. He says to them, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He goes on speaking to them of a cleansing, of being clean. Because of the word which he has spoken to them, he calls them and instructs them to abide in him and promises them that he will abide in them. He says ever so clearly that a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And he identifies the roles. I am the vine. You are the branch. He tells them that those who do not abide in him are cast out as a branch that is withered, and they're gathered and thrown into the fire to be burned. And the completion of this portion of the chapter, verses 7 to 8, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Abide in me. Abide in me and bear fruit. Abide in me and you will bear fruit. Because if you abide in me, I will abide in you. The very life of the vine in branch. Branches are nothing without the vine. Because of the vine, branches have life. Because of the vine, branches live. The vine, Jesus. The branches, disciples. Disciples, I'm preparing you. I'm equipping you for this day and for the days that lay ahead. I see the condition and the conditions of this day, of this hour, and I know the days, the time and times that you are entering into, that you will enter into. I know what you are facing. I know what you will face. And so, abide in me. Abide in me. It's what the day and days and every day and all days require in order to be as the Lord would have us be. Verse 4 in the NIV, remain in me as I also remain in you. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, you must go on growing in me and I will grow in you. The message, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. The Wycliffe Bible, dwell ye in me, and I in you. Branches simply cannot be fruitful, bear fruit according to the kingdom, kingdom call and kingdom standard, in accordance with the kingdom, unless they abide. Verse 8, New King James Version, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The NIV, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The Voice Bible, your abundant growth and your faithfulness as my followers will bring glory to the Father. You see, Jesus has great care and concern. Jesus has great care and concern for his disciples, and so he is giving them the key to becoming fruitful, being fruitful, and remaining fruitful no matter the days and no matter the condition of the days. When it's cool, when it's hot, when it's temperate and when it's tempestuous, when it's peaceful and when it's restless, and anywhere in between. Because the promise is that branches that abide, that remain, that live, that dwell in the vine always have fruit and are always producing, bearing fruit. Andrew Murray said these words, abiding in the vine then comes to be nothing more or less than the restful surrender of the soul to let Christ have all and work all. He became the true vine that we might be true branches. Both in regard to Christ and ourselves, the words teach us the two lessons of absolute dependence and perfect confidence. As surely as the husbandman made the vine what it was to be, will he make each branch what it is to be. Our Father is our husbandman, the surety for our growth and fruit. He insists upon the truth. Not of itself can the branch bear fruit. Except it abide, it cannot bear fruit. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Let me learn the lesson. Abiding is to be an act of the will and the whole heart. You are the branch. You need be nothing more. You need not for one single moment of the day take upon you the responsibility of the vine. You need not leave the place of entire dependence and unbounded confidence. Abiding in me is indispensable. For you know it of yourselves, you can do nothing to maintain or act out the heavenly life. It is the wholehearted surrender in everything to do his will that gives access to a life in the abiding enjoyment of his love. Obey and abide. The purpose is his. He will carry it out. The fruit is his. He will bring it forth. The abiding is his. He will maintain it. I am the vine. You are the branches. So beautiful. So beautiful, our dependence and perfect confidence. Well, Jesus then goes on to speak and to tell of love and joy perfected. We pick it up, verses 9 to 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, it was quite the time. Quite the hour. The days they were living in and the days that they were entering into, the days that they would now enter into. The hour of the cross was soon approaching. A time of great trial. A time of great temptation. A time of great sorrow. A time of anguish. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus. Denial just around the corner. The Christ exchanged for a criminal. The Christ whipped and scourged and mocked and ridiculed. The Christ unjustly accused. The Christ hung up on a cross to die. The King. The King on a criminal's cross. The King. Their great leader, their great captain. Disciples, these are the days ahead. And so abide in me. And in such a time as this, even in such a time as this, you can bear fruit. Abide in my love. Continue in my love. I'm speaking these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Do what I command. You are my friends. I chose you. And I appointed you. Remember the call? Come follow me. Is this what we signed up for? You know, I wonder, should they have known, would they still have followed? Man, they'd soon find themselves confused, gutted, not understanding it all, thinking it couldn't play out like this. Ah, they had wonderful days, and days full of wonder. They had miracle days and days of the miraculous, and there were great and glorious days ahead of them as well, but there was this season. There was a season, days ahead, that would try them to the limits. There may be days ahead of us to try us to the limits. A time coming when what we believe and what we preach, what we speak, considered hate speech, even what we live, is no longer tolerated as it is now. Heaven forbid betrayal. Heaven forbid denial. Keep the faith. Keep the faith and remember the words of Jesus. And for each of us as individuals, we will face days that try us to the limits. In this, the proving of our faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, that is, distressed by various trials, that the genuineness that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Philip's New Testament, this means tremendous joy to you. I know even though you are temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials and temptations, this is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. And gold, as you know, even though it is ultimately perishable, must be purified by fire. This proving of your faith is planned to bring you praise and honor and glory in the day when Jesus Christ reveals himself. And though you have never seen him, yet I know you love him. At present, you trust him without being able to see him. And even now, he brings to you, come on, he brings you a joy that words cannot express, and which has in it a hint of the glories of heaven. And all the time, you are receiving the result of your faith in him, the salvation of your souls. The Message paraphrase, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Oh, it takes faith. Man, it takes faith to abide in him in such times as these. Those words, hate, persecute, hatred and persecution and whatever else might come. Should days such as these come, Jesus has spoken to us and he has given us the key to being branches heavy with fruit. Abide in me. Abide in my love. The King James Version, continue ye in my love. And how exactly do we continue abide in his love? Verses 9 to 10, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen, there are no doubt seasons, days, times, when we know to greater extent than others just how the keeping of his commandments keeps us in his love. It may very well be those times when we face confusion, when we feel gutted, not understanding at all, thinking it couldn't play out this way. We're talking about days that seem dark or darkened, and yet we press on keeping his commandments, and in this continue in his love, abide in his love. Listen, if you found yourself there, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's worth thinking about who chooses the fruit that is brought forth. It's worth thinking about. Who chooses the fruit that is brought forth? Does the branch tell the vine what fruit it will bring forth? Or does the vine tell the branch? These words, the branch has but one object for which it exists, one purpose to which it is entirely given up. That is to bear the fruit the vine wishes to bring forth. And so the believer has but one reason for his being a branch, but one reason for his existence on earth, that the heavenly vine may through him bring forth his fruit. The one object of my being a branch, the one mark of my being a true branch, the one condition of my abiding and growing strong is that I bear the fruit of the heavenly vine for dying men to eat and live. Jesus felt the hour. Why did he feel the hour? He knew the days that they were living in. He knew the days that were in front of them. Church, Jesus knows the hour we are living in. The day we are living in, Jesus knows the days that are in front of us. What days are we living in? What day are we living in? I mean, I ask, can't we see it? Aren't we aware of the great conflict? The days the church is living in now, the days the church is facing now? But what of the individual? Here for a moment. You've accepted the call. You've decided to follow Jesus. And so you've walked with him. And you've entered into or are now entering into some hard days. Call it the hour of the cross. A time of great trial. A time of great temptation. A time of great sorrow. A time of anguish. Betrayal and arrest of your Jesus. Denial lurks around the corner seeking to devour. The Christ exchanged for the criminal. The Christ whipped and scourged and mocked and ridiculed. The Christ unjustly accused, the Christ hung up on a criminal's cross, the King on a cross, your King, your great leader, your great captain. You're like, what are you talking about? In your world, things have been okay. But the heat is being turned up, the pressure's on. Be it people or circumstance, it's a time of great trial, tempting and temptation. You feel the weight of sorrow and even anguish. You've witnessed firsthand the betrayal of your Jesus by even one or ones that you've walked with and journeyed with. They too have walked with Jesus, and now this unholy kissing of the Son. Will a rooster crow when your Jesus is on trial? You can hardly believe it. Your Jesus exchanged for the criminal. Your Jesus treated so cruelly. Your Jesus unjustly accused. Such accusation and accusations. Your Jesus, and you're gladly burdened to carry his cross. Your Jesus, spiritually speaking, crucified. The words of David Wilkerson, Christ's church has never been approved or accepted by the world. And it never will be. If you live for Jesus, you won't have to separate yourself from others' company. They'll do it for you. All you have to do is live for him. Suddenly, you'll find yourself reproached, rejected, called evil. Men shall hate you, and they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Luke 6:22. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. What of a church that is seeking the love of the world? Or a believer, the embrace of the world? You say, well, what's the mission then? Listen, we are not on a mission to be hated. We are not out seeking to be persecuted. Jesus wasn't on a mission to be hated. Jesus wasn't seeking persecution. He was hated because he was not of the world. He was persecuted because he was not of the world. He was hated because he was chosen. He was persecuted because he was chosen. No, not on a mission to be hated and persecuted, but the mission and hatred and persecution. Yeah, not the most popular terms, words in Christianity, at least not on this side of the pond. But this is no weak army. This is the King of Kings army, the Salvation army, the blood and fire army, the blood of Christ in our veins, and the red hot fire of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 5, 11 to 12, blessed are you when they revile. What kind of words are these? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Welcome to the club. Philip's New Testament, and what happiness will be yours when people blame you and ill-treat you and say all kinds of slanderous things against you. For my sake, be glad then. Yes, be tremendously glad. Your reward in heaven is magnificent. They persecuted the prophets before your time in exactly the same way. Join the ranks. James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, that is, endurance, perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. The Voice Bible, don't run from tests and hardships. Brothers and sisters, as difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Now, I'm sure many of the terms, these words in use today, will hardly grace a pulpit today. And they hardly grace a pulpit these days. I mean, come join us. We are hated. We are persecuted. Come join us. And expect to be hated. Expect to be persecuted. Jesus' church. Christ's true church. 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 14. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. The Amplified Classic, indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. Philip's New Testament, persecution is inevitable for those who are determined to live really Christian lives. While wicked and deceitful men will go from bad to worse, deluding others and deluding themselves. Ah, church. Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, are you? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Days that try us to the limits, well, Isaiah 43:1-3, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, that is, God prevails, contender, soldier of God. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Ah, but wait. All is well. All is well and all is good. No hatred. No real persecution. Question. Are we desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus? To live really Christian lives? Well, things are good. And not really feeling these. You know, when there is no hatred and persecution, and the days are bliss, the call remains to abide in Him and to abide in His love. For many have left off abiding in such days and times, and it has rendered them fruitless and cast off. Barren because of blessing. Barren. Because of bountiful days, barren. Because of clear skies, sunny skies, barren. Because of love and acceptance, barren. Because they wanted to bear other fruit, not what the vine wanted. That's the word of the Lord. Hatred and persecution have played their necessary role in church history, and actually an important role, a vital role, a glorious role. Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. People are dying for them and we can't even live for them. Billy Graham said, persecution is one of the natural consequences of living the Christian life. It is to the Christian what growing pains are to the growing child. No pain, no development, no suffering, no glory, no struggle, no victory, no persecution, no reward. We should not covet or expect the praise of ungodly men. The very fact that they are inclined to persecute us is proof that we are not of bearing the cross does not mean wearing gunny sacks and long faces. Some people wear the look of a martyr every time they hear criticism. Sometimes we deserve the criticism we receive. However, we are blessed only when men speak evil against us falsely for Christ's sake. And these words, in a country where Christians are looked upon with suspicion and disfavor, a government leader said to me, with a twinkle in his eye, Christians seem to thrive under persecution. Perhaps we should prosper them and then they would disappear. Faithfulness and persecution seem to go hand in hand. And we can handle persecution because we know the purpose, that we might glorify God, that God be glorified, that Christ be glorified. This, no doubt, my sufficient reward. Jonathan Edwards said one of the great paradoxes in Christian history is that the church is most pure in times of cultural hostility. When things are easy and good, that is when the church most often goes astray. When Christianity seems identical with the culture, and even when the church seems to be enjoying its greatest earthly success, then it is weakest. Conversely, when the church encounters hardship, persecution, and suffering, then it is closest to its crucified Lord. Then there are fewer hypocrites and nominal believers among its members, and then the faith of Christians burns most intensely. The words of Jesus: if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Listen, church, you don't sign up to be hated. You don't sign up to be persecuted. No, you sign up to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the Messiah, the Savior, the Captain, the King, the Son of God, the only true God. You sign up because of grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, kindness, and because of acceptance. And should hatred and persecution follow, should they come, so be it. Lead us, Jesus. Romans 8:15-18, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God, we need an army today. This day, we need a salvation army. We need a blood and fire army. 100% what this generation of believers needs is the blood of Jesus and the ever hot fire of the Holy Ghost. Hear these words. Peter wrote words of encouragement and direction to the believers under the persecution across Asia Minor. He was writing at the threshold of the Neronian persecution of AD 64. The Roman historian Tacitus describes the horrors that Emperor Nero, a madman, unleashed on the Christians in Rome to divert attention from himself as the likely instigator of the great fire that had destroyed much of the city. Consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of evil, but even in Rome, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. Accordingly, an arrest was made of all who pleaded guilty. Then, upon their information, an immense multitude was convicted, not so much of the crime of fire in the city as of hatred against humanity. Lord Jesus. Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Covered with the skins of beasts, they were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as a nightly illumination when daylight had expired. Nero offered his gardens for the spectacle and was exhibiting a show in the circus while he mingled with the people in the dress of a charioteer or stood aloft on a car. Hence, even for criminals who deserved extreme and exemplary punishment, there arose a feeling of compassion. For it was not as it seemed for the public good, but to glut one man's cruelty that they were being destroyed. In such times as these scriptures were delivered to them. As we've read 1 Peter 1:6-7, in this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, You've been grieved by various trials, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:20-21. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 4:12-19, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, that is, insulted, reviled, for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, a meddler in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? No, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So faithful. Listen, we do not go out seeking hatred and persecution. That's foolishness. Sing over us, Fanny. Behold the army of the Lord, how bright its host appears. Its ranks are marshaled, every one, and filled with volunteers. There is no place for coward hearts who from their colors fly. The gospel calls for loyal ones who do not fear to die. The trump of war is sounding now, its signal well, we know. It bids the soldiers of the cross take arms against the foe. The battle storm may do its worst, our ardor still shall rise. We'll never lay our armor down till faith presents the prize. And when by grace our victory won, like stars in heaven we shine, we'll shout and sing through endless years the praise, O Lord, be thine. You know, I'm so thankful we came together today. I'm so thankful we came together today to worship freely, to bless our Lord, to build him a throne in this place, to glory that he would inhabit the praises, our praises. So thankful, so grateful. Still, I know of our brothers and sisters in other lands that have not the same. Billy Graham said, while Christians in America have worshiped without the fear of threat or physical abuse for their beliefs, thousands of their brothers in Christ throughout the world have been tortured and martyred for confessing the name Christ. America, land of the free. Canada, you know, thank you, Lord. We gather here today without the fear of threat or physical abuse. May we never take it for granted, though some have and no longer gather. And may we ever pour out gratitude as long as these days remain, and should days less pleasurable come our way, we are yours, Lord. We are yours, Jesus. You know what? It's time we stood on guard. It's time we stood on guard. Christians on guard. You know, this country has an anthem. We sing part of the original, it seems. O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love thou dost in us command. We see thee rising fair, dear land, the true north strong and free, and stand on guard, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. O Canada, where pines and maples grow, great prairies spread and lordly rivers flow, how dear to us thy broad domain from east to western sea, thou land of hope for all who toil, thou true north strong and free. O Canada, beneath thy shining skies, may stalwart sons and gentle maidens rise to keep thee steadfast through the years from east to western sea. Our own beloved native land, our true north strong and free. Ruler supreme, who hearest humble prayer, hold our dominion within thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee a lasting, rich reward as waiting for the better day we ever stand on guard. Well, we've come a long way. And yet the greatest thing we could do now, the greatest thing we could give others and give even this, our country, is our abiding in Christ. Our abiding in his love. It may sound crazy, but it's true. Sufficient reward. To this we've come. The true believers, the true followers of Jesus Christ have their satisfaction. Their Savior's loving kindness is better than life, so their lips brim with praise. Oh, to bless him while we live with souls satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Yes, our souls satisfied. We have our sufficient reward, and we will one day have our supreme reward. We can have the worship team return. A.W. Tozer said the true church has never sounded out public expectations before launching her mission. Her leaders heard from God. They knew their Lord's will and did it. Their people followed them, sometimes to triumph, oftener to insults and public persecution. And their sufficient reward was the satisfaction of being right in a wrong world. Follow the leader, Jesus. And follow the leader, leaders, and follow the leaders, leaders, and down it goes. You know, I don't know about you, but I have my sufficient reward. Yes, the satisfaction of being right in a wrong world. Church, what else? What greater words could be delivered today, this day, these days? The holy and perfect words of our great Lord, our great captain. If you abide in me, my words will abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The words of Andrew Murray, begin each day with him in the morning to know in truth that you are abiding in him and he in you. Christ tells that nothing less will do. It is not your willing and running. It is not by your might or strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Meet each new engagement. Undertake every new work with an ear and heart open to the Master's voice. He that abideth in me beareth much fruit. See you to the abiding. He will see to the fruit. For he will give it in you and through you. You can become a branch today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he said, I am the vine, I'm the true vine. You can become a branch today. And you can have the very life of the vine. You can become a branch today. And is there a branch or branches that need to surrender that the fruit the vine wants to bring forth weighs heavy? Perhaps we've been too calculated, too boxy with and in our connection to the vine, trying to limit or control the life flow. It's time to branch out. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. Now we give you glory, God. how awesome it is to know you. Having heard the call to come follow, God, we're on the road. We trust in you, Lord, no matter the days, no matter the times, whether favorable or less favorable. Lord, I just pray that every person in this house, every family in this house, God, every individual in this house, every son, daughter, old and young, would be a true branch. Lord, heavy with fruit in every season, trusting in you. And when we enter those times when we feel confused, gutted, not really knowing what's going on, that we would continue in your love. We would keep your commandments. We would hold the line. We would keep the faith. And in this, abide. We love you, Jesus. We love you, God. Be glorified in our living and our lives.